Today on More to Life, baggage check. Still carrying the weight of past mistakes or hurts will help you unpack the pain and move forward with grace and purpose. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, baggage check. We're talking about when it's hard to let go of those past hurts. And we're talking about all kinds of baggage. We could help you unpack those big trunks or those little overnight bags. You know, whether this is something...
Or even that messy purse.
There you go. If it was some, let's say you had an argument with somebody last week and you're just having a hard time getting past that. You know, because just things were said, we did not appreciate it. Or we're talking about, you know, old hurts from the past that have defined your life in some way. The reality is getting past those hurts, big or small, is an important part of leading an abundant life. And we want to help you do just that. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, some of us can do pretty well sort of putting things in their own compartments in our mind and say, okay, that's over, that's done, I'm going to lead my life. But in our weaker moments, when we're exhausted, when we're sad, when we're anxious about something, or when we have to deal with particular people involved in a past hurt in some way, even tangentially. You know, they know the person that hurt you, or they might have an opinion, or they were around when you were embarrassed by it, whatever it was. It can come rushing back to us. It can elevate our emotional temperature. It can make us feel like that wounding is happening all over again. And it keeps us from being the redeemed, healthy people that God is helping us to be. We sort of reject what God's doing because we're focused on that pain, even if it was a while ago.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just having a discussion with somebody on the Catholic Home app earlier today about how parenting, you know, has been difficult for them because mm-hmm. of the way they were raised. Yeah. And, you know, and it wasn't any big traumatic thing that they went through as kids, but just the patterns in their family life growing up weren't things they wanted to repeat. But they were having a hard time letting that go. And so we're even talking about that kind of baggage, you know. So whatever it is that's holding you back, that's causing you to feel less confident than you'd like to be, that's having you sort of think more negatively about yourself than you wish you would, or that's just hard for you to get past and forgive and heal, we want to help you do all that and more today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Well, I think that's such a good example when you're talking about parenting and sometimes having a hard time letting go of how our parents parented us, even if they were great parents most of the time. Every single parent has patterns, makes mistakes, passes down generational stuff, and on and on. But as with everything in our lives, Jesus is always offering us healing. Healing for ourselves, healing for the next generation, healing for the relationship that was damaged by what somebody else was living. And it's up to us to accept that invitation to healing in a myriad of ways. In having a deep conversation over and over again with Jesus and asking Him to heal us. in accepting the kinds of help that he puts in front of us, whether that is professional support, spiritual supports from a pastor or a prayer group, or even the things that you can see online that can be ways that God is speaking to you and trying to support you in your healing, and especially in things like parenting. Each one of our children is an invitation from God to be our best selves for that person and for our own healing. And I know we experience this throughout parenting, but especially in the beginning when it's new and there are just things that our parents made a fuss over or were important to us that our kids can trigger. You know, for us, you and I used to have big conversations about our very picky eater first child. And for you, your mother was one of those sit there and clear your plate kind of people. And my mother was sort of this, you know, she'll eat when she's hungry, it's there kind of people. And even that differentiation between how our parents handled that, if we don't stop and say, what does this child need? What does my relationship with this child need? Oh, is there something here I need to be healed from? If we don't ask those questions in that kind of situation or any situation where God's leading us to healing, we're sort of shutting the door on the grace of God to bring us healing and change those situations.
So whatever the situation is, give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you struggling to get past an old hurt? Whether that hurt is ancient history or something that happened in the last week and you're just having a hard time overcoming that argument or that comment, that offense. Are you having a hard time forgiving someone who's hurt you? Are you tired of the critical voices in your head that are always running you down or holding you back? Or are you trying to help somebody who seems stuck in the past that you care about? And however emotional baggage, whether it's the big trunks or the overnight bags or even the little purse, is holding you back or a loved one, we want to help set you free. Excuse me. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me get past old hurts? Well, I'm glad you asked. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked basically a huge question, right? He essentially said, if we looked at everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation history, etc., what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
The theology of the body reminds us that our identity is not determined by what we have done or what has been done to us, but by our creation in his image and likeness. Our ultimate destiny is in God. One of the most powerful aspects of the theology of the body is its reflection on the concept of, bear with me here, eschatological man. Now, don't be put off by the theological language. That phrase simply means that God wants us to identify not with our brokenness or the hard things we've been through, but with the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people he created us to be and is helping us to become through his love. When we understand that this is who we really are, we can start to let go of the false identities we've picked up along the way. We're not defined by our worst moments or what others have done to us. We're defined by what God is doing in us right now and who he's calling us to become.
Yeah, and that perspective really helps us reframe our hurts and leave behind our baggage, because it reminds us that our past doesn't define us. Instead, our identity is shaped by our communion with God and the hope of sharing in his divine life. And rather than clinging to shame, regret, or pain, we're invited to claim the truth of who we are in Christ, redeemed, renewed, and called to love. All right, so how do we claim that reality? Well, first, we need to stay grounded in prayer and scripture and let God's word rewire our understanding of who we really are. Second, we need to take the sacraments seriously, especially confession and the Eucharist, because those are our lifelines to grace. Third, we need to forgive ourselves and others, not because they always deserve it, but because we deserve to be free. And finally, we need to surround ourselves with people who build us up, and we need to set boundaries with those who don't. Remember, you're not your past. You're God's work in progress, and the theology of the body reminds us that the final masterpiece really is something glorious. And that's what we want to help you achieve starting today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring to you those past hurts, those experiences that we've had, those mistakes we've made, those regrets that we carry with us, the unforgiveness that we have. And we ask you to help us to surrender that hurt and begin to identify with that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person that you created us to be and are working through your grace to help us become. Take that pain that we carry within us and help to make it into something beautiful, to show us how we can respond to those hurts, how we can respond to those pains in ways that glorify you, that enable us to be our best selves, and that enable us to use our gifts to build your kingdom and show the world what you can do, even with the hurts that we carry. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Baggage Check. We're talking about getting past old hurts, old mistakes, old regrets, and helping the people that you love do the same. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. I have a daughter that has been estranged from me for 12 years or so. And she has recently, okay, I went through a divorce after 40 years, and then suddenly...
And how old was she when that, how old was she when that happened, Mary?
Oh, it was just, she was in her mid-30s.
Okay, so she was out of the house, she was an adult, it still hurts, but she wasn't a little child. So what's happened since then?
Okay, well, she was estranged from me because I had a lot of problems, emotional and things, and I did not present the faith well to her. I was rather harsh, and I had like this reversion to the faith when she was in middle school, and she was just totally wrong the way I went about getting my family on board. That is the thing. So recently I got an email from her after she totally told her sister not to give me her address or phone number. All of a sudden I get an email recently from her. And then she's telling me that that I didn't destroy her after all. She's loves her wife very much, and she's at peace, and she said you were a terrible mother, and I mean it just brought back I just kind of set her to the side because it was just when I say that, I mean over the years I've had to just move on, and but now I want to respond to her with love.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this was incredibly painful to have this all brought back up. There's nothing a mother wants to hear less than those words. So the fact that you're moving on and saying, I want to respond in love is really virtuous of you, and I want to applaud you for that intent.
And I've just been, I still have to forgive myself, and I got to forgive my husband too. I've been, you know, I'm faithful to the church, and I know that God will hopefully bring love, a good thing out of it. I think.
So let me ask you this. I'm sorry. In the response that you want to make here, mm-hmm. where do you feel like you're getting stuck, so that we can help you specifically in knowing how to deal with this?
Well, yesterday I spent so much time ruminating, and I started writing the things, and then the things that I'm sorry for, you know, that I did. But then I kept erasing it and having to do it again, and I just was not at peace yet about what I wanted to say. But I just want to let her know that the door is open, and the fact that the fact that she, all of a sudden, she's giving me this email that I can email her back. She says she doesn't expect or want me to do that, but it's almost like I want to leave a brief message to let her know that I'm sorry. I understand. I'm sorry for the things. Okay. But at the
same time, let me give you some thoughts, because we'll have to go to our break here in a couple minutes, and I want to make sure that I leave you with something. So I want to offer some basic suggestions, and then I want to give you a resource to follow up as well. And as Lisa said, I want to thank you for your beautiful heart, because and your humility, your willingness to kind of hear all this, even though it's so painful, and to want to respond to your daughter in love. I think that's amazing, and clearly God is working through this situation. So continue praying about it. We've added you to our prayer list here as well. I think that you want to keep the message short. I think your instinct there is correct, and not go into a lot of detail.
Yeah, you don't want to go through every incident in her life. You just want to say, you're right.
The goal of this email is to make her feel safe having shared this with you, and then leave the door open for what other conversations she might want to have down the road. And so I think I would suggest responding in some way by saying, you know, I want to thank you for having the courage to reach out to me.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't easy for you to share those things with me. And even though they were hard to hear, I want you to know that I welcome the feedback. And I'm grateful that you felt comfortable to reach out to me with this. I understand that there's a lot of work that would need to be done on our relationship before we could, you know, have a lot to do with each other. But I want you to know that I'm open to whatever conversations you'd like to have when you'd like to have them, and I'm willing to hear whatever it is that you feel like you need to tell me.
And I think that it's important in after you thank her to really say, it resonated with me. You're right. Unintentionally, I was trying to do my best and I ended up hurting you. And for that, I am truly sorry with all my heart. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have been a different person, a different kind of mother, but I want you to know I'm hearing you, and I will do what I need to do.
Now, I realize that there's a little bit of a complication here in the fact that she's in a same-sex relationship, and I understand that there's a whole lot of stuff to work out there. I wouldn't address any of that up front.
Mm-mm.
Just for you, because we're running out of time, I want to turn you on to our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. In there, we talk about the difference between approval versus accompaniment. And basically, the difference is this. You know, approval is just to say, everything you're doing is wonderful, I support it all. And of course, you can't do that in this case. But what you can do is accompany her by saying, I appreciate the intentions that you're pursuing here. I appreciate that you desire it. And don't say any of this in the initial letter. I'm just saying, keep this in the back of your mind. You know, I appreciate that you're trying to find love. I appreciate that you're trying to find identity. I appreciate that you're trying to find community. I think those are all wonderful things. I have concerns that the way you're going about those things won't satisfy you in the long term and will be problematic for you in the long term. But I understand what you're trying to pursue, and I want you to know that I support that even if I have questions about the way you're going about it. Now, don't say any of that in the initial response. I'm just addressing it because I understand that because of the same-sex relationship, they're probably got questions. You've got questions about what you, how you can support her, and how you and what you might not be able to do. But we talk about this more in having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with her adult sons and daughters. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold, and I think that it will build on themes that we've presented here. But in your initial response, you just want to really focus on having making it safe for her to have shared this with you, and then leave the door open for possible future conversations when and if she's ready to have them. Mary, thank you so much for the call. As I mentioned, we've added you to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or at CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like more personal guidance. And also check out the book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because it'll build on the themes that we've started to present to you here. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about baggage, about leaving behind those old hurts, moving past unforgiveness, helping the people you care about move past those hurts. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, Baggage Check, as we talk about leaving behind those past hurts, moving past unforgiveness and regret. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference, which actually is coming up here in just 2 weeks. In Denver, Colorado. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Happy feast day.
Thank you. Yes, today is the Feast of the Transfiguration, which is actually a good time to talk about leaving behind baggage, because God is showing us through the Transfiguration that He wants to make us all new. Tell us some of your insights, though, that you've had as you were reflecting on this.
Sure, yes. I love the feast day, and as you know, I'm, you know, Eastern Catholic, and in the feast day verses and things like that, it just talks about the fact that Jesus shows that his apostles his glorified self, his resurrected, you know, self in the Transfiguration, so that they would be able, or, you know, what it was going to be like, right? Because his garments became dazzling white and everything. And so he shows them this picture of glorified humanity to give them hope for when they would see him crucified. And so I think for us, it's a great reminder too, like, this is what we're destined for. This is why God made us. And even in the midst of all of our baggage, all of our things that we've done that we're not happy about, that might be bothering us, you know, that we're repenting of, right, but we need to let go and things, like, this is what God is calling us to, so it can give us a lot of joy and hope. And I also love the image of the mountain, right? Because Jesus is up on the mountain. He took his apostles up there with him. And we can think of it that way, right? We're going up. We're heading up the mountain to heaven, right? That's our destination. And when you're hiking, you do not want a lot of baggage. So I've done a lot of hikes. So the heavier backpack is, the harder it is. So
I think it's a good image for sure.
You know, we can let it down, let it go, put it down, and be really encouraged by this Feast of the Transfiguration, that it's not just Jesus that will be transfigured, but we're called to that too, you know?
It's so important to remember those things, and the image of, okay, you know, Jesus is there on the mountain. He's got this taken care of. Maybe I can put down that backpack. We never hear about, you know, Peter carrying a backpack up there. We need to allow God's healing and transfiguration to happen in our own hearts and minds.
You know, before we let you go, I wanted to give you an opportunity to mention the National Catholic Singles Conference that's happening August 22nd through the 24th.
Sure, yes. I'm excited about that, too. Speaking of mountains, it's going to be in Denver. And hundreds of singles are coming from all over the country and internationally to Denver for a fantastic weekend. It's like a big retreat, but we have social activities as well. And for those who can't come to Denver, we have a virtual option. They can still hear the dynamic speakers and participate in online socials and things. So, and besides the conference, there's a bunch of side events like hiking and ziplining and tours, pilgrimages, you know, to Jubilee sites and things. So it'll be a lot of fun. So if you're single and you're Catholic, you definitely don't want to miss it. So
it's August 22nd through the 24th in Denver, Colorado. It's not too late to register. Go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. nationalcatholicsingles.com. And Anastasia, thank you for being with us today. Always a pleasure to speak with you. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Baggage Check. As we talk about getting past old hurts, sometimes not ancient hurts, but hurts that are in the recent past, overcoming unforgiveness, and helping the people we love move on too. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls coming up right after this break.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Can a priest ever reveal what he has heard in confession? No, he cannot, the Catechism firmly states. Due to the delicacy and greatness of this ministry and the respect due to persons, the Church declares that the priest must keep all he hears under the seal of the sacrament. Under no circumstances may he disclose what he has heard in confession. Were he to do so, he would face severe church penalties. When he is celebrating the sacrament of penance, the priest is fulfilling the ministry of the Good Shepherd seeking the lost sheep, the Good Samaritan who binds up the wounds, the merciful Father who welcomes home the prodigal son, and the impartial judge whose judgment is just and merciful. The confessor is the servant, not the master of God's forgiveness, leading the penitent to maturity and healing. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Throughout Scripture, again and again, we hear that we're to not be afraid, that we must trust in the Lord and be confident in God's providence, deliverance, mercy, and constant care. As theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar once observed, quote, "When one surveys, even from a distance, how often and how openly sacred Scripture speaks of fear and anxiety, an initial conclusion presents itself. The Word of God is not afraid of fear or anxiety." End quote. What a powerful observation. When we feel anxious, God wants us to wrap ourselves in His grace. But sometimes that's easier said than done. a good place to start is to take a moment to remind yourself of all the other times when you were sure you were doomed, but God came through. Allow yourself to relive the relief you felt in those past moments. Then praise God for his past faithfulness and ask for the grace to remember that he is still as faithful now as he was then. To learn more tips for overcoming anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Baggage Check. As we talk about leaving behind hurts from the past or the recent past, overcoming unforgiveness, helping the people we care about move past those hurts as well. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 10 years with us. KYEJ 90.1 FM serves Fairmont, Minnesota.
Congratulations to Steve Landsteiner and everyone at Fairmont Area Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to your EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you are supporting your local station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all the people you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And once again, congratulations to Steve Landsteiner and all the folks who are making Catholic radio possible, including you, the listener. With that, let's go back to our calls. Lisa, who's on deck?
Let's talk now with Ruth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maine.
Ruth, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. Well, something happened to me several years ago where I was at a reception and I was in a circle of people talking, and this gentleman came up to me and kissed me on the cheek. I know it doesn't sound like a big deal, but, you know, this was somebody, I knew his name, but that's about it. And he has a business which I'd like to do business with, but I just can't get myself to approach him. And I guess, you know, I mean, I see it as a childish prank of some kind. And
Ruth, talk to me about the context of this, because if somebody came up to me at a funeral and did that, the context would matter. Was he? You seem to think that he was being prankish or overt in some way. It made you uncomfortable, rather than he came over, gave you a kiss on the cheek, gave you his condolences for the family member that was lost. So, talk to me about the context of this.
That wasn't it at all. He just kind of burst in, kissed me on the cheek, and then ran out of the room. You know. And I don't know, he yelled something to somebody that I guess saw him or whatever. He just raced out of the, you know, of the room. It was a lodge, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's anything to forgive here. I think that there's not a lot of, I mean, it doesn't sound inappropriate. It sounds, I understand that it made you uncomfortable, but and in terms of doing business with his business, I mean, the only reason not to do business with his organization would be is if somehow you felt unsafe.
Yeah, if you have to deal with him all the time and you thought somehow this was a romantic gesture or something inappropriate, and the Holy Spirit itself is saying, hey, this guy's not trustworthy, then find another business that's like his and just keep yourself safe and sound. But if you are dealing with a larger business and not him, then, you know, you can do that safe.
And, you know, you asked our screener, you know, should you talk to him about this? I wouldn't say that you should. I mean, this is something that happened years ago. It was a fleeting moment. It was over in a few seconds. It's hard for me to imagine that there was anything inappropriate about this. You know, maybe it was awkward. Maybe it wasn't well delivered. But based on what you've even shared, I really don't see a whole lot to discuss. So I'm sorry that it made you uncomfortable, and certainly you have no obligation to patronize his business if that's
or see him again ever.
But there's nothing to discuss with him, and I would encourage you to look at, you know, kind of what's going on inside of you that really causes you to hold on to this, because this is something that I think most people would be able to let go of. You would have an awkward moment, but then you wouldn't think about it again. For you to still be concerned about it years later suggests that there's some internal wound that this triggered that you might need to look at.
Another time that you felt unsafe with somebody in your family or another person in your life, and it brought back that feeling of, you know, I wasn't able to protect myself well enough in this. So take a look at that and see if the Holy Spirit's trying to invite you into healing an older wound that you haven't thought about in a while.
Yeah, because when we have these disproportional actions, reactions, to situations like this, it really often is an invitation from the Holy Spirit to look at those deeper wounds and see it as an opportunity for healing, as opposed to continuing to be angry at that person. Ruth, I want to thank you for the call. I suspect this probably took a little bit of a different direction than you were expecting, but I do hope that you'll receive that invitation to look a little bit deeper into what are those internal wounds that might need to be healed that would help you feel more in control.
And you were incredibly brave to be able to call and bring this up, so I want you to know that that's also God's way of saying you're brave enough to handle this with Him if there is a deeper wound there. So see, take it to prayer, maybe before the Blessed Sacrament, and say, Lord, is there something you're bringing up to me through this that you want to heal in me? And if not, then just help me to know what to do with this next.
Ruth, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like to do that deeper look at the situation. We had a call from Rosalina, who was listening in New Jersey, who had a question. She wasn't able to stay on, but I think it's an important question. And she said she has a hard time forgiving her cousin. She is an immigrant from the Philippines, and when she was in the Philippines, this cousin took her land, she says, and she's having a hard time forgiving that person and letting it go. So I want to talk about what forgiveness really requires of us, because a lot of times we think it means more than it does. Forgiveness is never easy, no matter how you slice it, but it's also not as complicated as we sometimes make it out to be. So St. Augustine said that forgiveness was when we surrender our natural desire for hurting, for revenge. So at the point where we want to stop hurting somebody for having hurt us, or stop wanting something bad to happen to somebody who hurt us, we've forgiven them. Now, getting to that point can be hard enough, right? But it doesn't mean not holding someone responsible for the things that they did. It doesn't mean pretending that the offense never happened and just acting as if everything was perfectly fine.
Right. It does not mean denying that an injustice was done to you, because God doesn't like injustice. He's not saying, oh, pretend that didn't happen. Pretend it was not an unjust thing. What God teaches us, as Greg is saying here, is in the face of an injustice, we can try to do things to fix it. But to forgive means just not wanting revenge against that person. Doesn't mean we have to be their best friend. Doesn't mean that we don't have to pretend it didn't happen. Doesn't mean anything that would cause us to say, oh, this was just fine and dandy, thanks.
So in terms of forgiving this person who took your land in the Philippines, I would say that forgiving them means, just as I said, not wanting to hurt them. But if there are any legal means that you have to address this injustice, any appropriate means you have to address this injustice, I would encourage you to pursue those things. If it's not possible to reclaim the land or to get what you feel is rightfully yours in either legal or appropriate ways, then the next step would be to really be bringing the situation to God and asking Him to show you how He is providing for you. Right? Because here's the thing. When we are denied an inheritance, or when something is taken from us unjustly, we can become so focused on the thing that we lost that we feel like the only way I can ever be whole is if I get that particular thing back. And when it's not possible to get that particular thing back, then I guess I just can't be whole for the rest of my life. And that's not how God wants us to see that. Yes, God mourns with us when we experience an injustice, when we lose something that is rightfully ours, or experience some offense that is just inappropriate and unacceptable. But the good news is that we can receive God's healing not just from the person who hurt us or by getting that situation back, but by having God restore us in His way. So, for instance, let's imagine that you unjustly lost a job, right? It would be perfectly understandable if you would spend the rest of your life trying to regain your reputation and say that was unjust, and I want that person who fired me to apologize for what they've done and for the truth to come out. But if that wasn't possible in either legal or appropriate ways, like I'm talking to you about with the land, then you would want to focus on how is God providing for me? How is God helping me restore my reputation? How is God helping me pay my bills? How is God leading me to healing, even though that particular situation can't be resolved? So in the same way, I'd encourage you to be praying about this. You know, yes, it was unjust that you lost the land. Yes, it was a hit, financially, emotionally. How is God trying to provide for you now? How is God working to make up for that loss that you experienced? And really be aware of how, because God is providing for you, you can let this go. Right? So again, forgiveness means just getting to the place where you don't want bad things to happen to your cousin, or you don't want to lash out at your cousin or hurt your cousin in some way for having done this to you. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pursue any legal or appropriate means to reconcile the injustice, or that you shouldn't hold that person accountable, or that you can trust them again. It just means that you're not going to go out of your way to hurt them for having hurt you. But then moving past that, the Catechism talks about how we can bring healing to these hurting parts, even if we can't forget an offense, because the Catechism actually says it's impossible for us to forget or not feel an offense. But it encourages us to bring the situation to God in intercession so that God can transform our hearts and show us how He is leading us to healing, which is what I'm suggesting as the second part of my response to you, Rosalina. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. We've added you and the situation to our More to Life prayer list, but we're here to support you in any way that we can. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Baggage Check. And we're talking about getting past hurts, whether those hurts are fresh or ancient history. The fact is, all of us carry around inside of us certain hurts that define us, that hold us back, that cause us to carry unforgiveness in our hearts, regret, resentment. We want to help you be set free from that emotional baggage. And for that matter, if you are in a relationship with someone who's having a hard time letting go of those hurts, and you're not sure how to support them, we're here for that too. 877-573-7825. As we head out for our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Beautiful scripture on this Feast of the Transfiguration, and a reminder that we are not defined by our past hurts, our regrets, our mistakes, or the things that others have done to us, because when we are in Christ, we are a new creation, and God is working in us to make that new creation real every day. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I misspoke the first time, I apologize. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Baggage Check. Are you struggling to get past an old hurt? Are you having a hard time forgiving someone who's hurt you, either recently or in the past? Are you tired of the critical voices in your head always running you down? Or for that matter, are you trying to help someone who seems stuck in the past? However old emotional baggage is holding you or a loved one back, we want to help set you free. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls coming up right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. He once declared, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Baggage Check, as we talk about leaving behind those old hurts that we tend to carry around with us. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in D.C.
John, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hi. I've had a sexual addiction. I'm 67. I've had a sexual addiction since I was a teenager, and it involved other people for years and years, and then finally, I guess the last 23 years, it's been online pornography, but really the reason for my call, part of it is that I have severe OCD as a result of the addiction, and I know it's a way of assuaging at least everything I read, and it certainly feels this way because assuaging the guilt and the shame of the addiction, the OCD. Mm-hmm. And it does get better when I stay away from things, but I mean, it's gotten to the point where if there's just even anything on, if I linger on anything on TV or whatever, I get, the symptoms are there. And
John, what are you doing to treat the OCD? What kind of help are you getting there?
I had a little bit of therapy here and there, but not anything for a long time. And I guess I'm convinced that, because I do get better when I do stay away from things, that, it will wear off. It does, eventually it would.
Well, it will come and go, but it won't go away without proper treatment. And so my first encouragement to you is to really be seeking proper professional help and sticking with it, because without the new skills that you are going to need, and without possibly medication, you'll have times where the OCD comes and goes. And what you're saying is you tend to experience the OCD when you're using more when you're using pornography, and the more you stay away from the pornography, the more the OCD stays away. And I appreciate that, but I think you have it backwards. I think it's not so much the use of pornography that's causing the OCD. I think it's the OCD that's causing you to kind of be stuck on this as a way of comforting yourself. You're trying to self-medicate for the pain that you're in. And without healthier approaches to healing, then it's hard to get past all of these things. And you specifically asked our screener, how can you get past the self-condemnation and work to get better? Loving ourselves in a healthy way as Christians means that we're going to give up self-condemnation, and that we're going to do the work that we need to do to heal, right? To love anybody, including ourselves, means to work for their ultimate good. And so, you know, we have a tendency to think that if I'm going to love myself by beating up on myself so that I can, you know, I can regret my sins or my mistakes or my struggles enough that I just won't go back there anymore. And then that becomes a vicious cycle, because the worse I make myself feel, the harder it is to change, because our brain actually locks down. You know, brain researchers tell us that research shows that when we feel attacked, even by ourselves, the brain produces chemicals that make it difficult to create new neural connections, which are necessary for change and learning to occur. So the more we beat up on ourselves, the harder it becomes to change. So the only way to really heal this is by saying to yourself, I'm going to love myself well enough to stop beating up on myself and do the work that's necessary to heal, to get the professional help, to get the skills, to get the medication, to get the resources that are going to help me heal this OCD and overcome my compulsion with the pornography. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. And truly loving yourself means being willing to do that work that's necessary to heal. And that's what's ultimately going to allow you to stop beating up on yourself as well. John, I want to thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you on this healing journey. With that, let's go to one last call here.
Taking a next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Listener, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I don't know if the screener told you a little bit about my situation.
So just to recap, we have about 3 minutes. So the screener told us that your cousin sexually abused you when you were a child. You told your parents about it in your 20s, but they basically dismissed you, and you're wondering how to forgive your parents. Is that a fair summary?
Yes.
Do you see your parents anymore?
I moved to the U.S. I don't see them so frequently, but still I feel deeply the wound of just shut your mouth. Keep the peace. Your feelings, who you are, don't matter.
Sure, that's a horrible burden.
So just because of the limits on time, I'm just going to jump in here and say, you know, again, forgiving somebody does not mean pretending what they did was okay. It doesn't mean saying that I can trust them again. It doesn't mean dismissing the offense, right? Forgiving them just means that you're not going to go out of your way to hurt them for having hurt you. But what they did was wrong. What they did was an injustice, and what they did added to the hurt that you experienced. You needed to be able to trust your parents to be there for you, to be a comfort to you, a support to you, to protect you, to encourage you, to help you find healing, and they actually added to the injury. In some ways, you know, it's this way that your parents treated you that pre-existed the abuse that was even the greater trauma. Because you couldn't count on the people that you should be able to count on to keep you safe, either before, during, or after the abuse. And so I think that it's okay to say, you know, I don't want to hurt my parents for this. I want them to get help. I want them to own what they did. I want them to apologize for what they did. And even if they can't ever do that, you know, I'm going to recognize that if they can't do that, I'm going to recognize I need to set boundaries with them. And when they complain, because they say, you know, well, how come you're not coming around, or how come you're not calling as much? It's okay to say, well, I love you, but I can't trust you enough to be in the kind of relationship you want to have with me until you can apologize for not being there for me and get the help that you need to be able to support me in my healing journey.
Now, the one part that I want to add to this is, don't wait for them to be able to apologize for you to seek healing about this situation. Because what was done to you, both by your cousin and your parents trying to shut you down, caused you a great injury. And one of the most wonderful things you can do for yourself is not wait for their permission to go and seek help. Not wait for them to admit that it actually happened, for you to go and seek the help and the healing that you need. Give yourself permission to do that work on yourself, and that will help you overcome all of the past trauma without their permission.
I want to thank you for having the courage to call in with your question and invite you, if you'd like to seek faithful help for this, to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to aid you in your healing journey. Thank you again for the call. And listeners, if you're struggling to let go of past hurts of any kind, ancient past or more recent present, we're here to help. Reach out at CatholicCounselors.com so we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.